like, it hurt him, like, because, like, at the end of the fight, because, like, he had the title, and he was, you could see that he, it hurted him, because he was, you could see, like, little tears that are about to come out of his eyes. So I think he just came out more aggressive. No knock on Randy Couture. I mean, the natural, I mean, he's beating up some good dudes, but, like, it's just that, like, time gets you, you know, like, he's been out of the game for a while. Like, when he retired, I think that killed him the most, because, you know, instead of just, like, basically, he was like complaining that since he didn't want to, since he wanted to fight Fader, he just semi-retired for that whole year, and it hurt him when he came back. He had to fight like a monster in Brock Lesnar.
You know, I'm really happy you brought that up. I got to backtrack a little bit when you talked about Minotaur Noguera fighting Frank Mir. You know, yeah. He had a staph infection, which is pretty serious. He was in the hospital. It was about 3 weeks.
That's
3 weeks
in
or
MMA
so
too.
Before the fight. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's common in a lot of sports. I guess just because you know, you get hurt, you get medical problems, you get, you know, go to the hospital, and that's where they get it. But yeah, he's coming off of like 3 weeks from the hospital. Right? Yeah. Of course he's not going to be at the top of his game. I think that's why, you know, Frank Mir served him up so well as he did.
And then, like, but honestly, it's he wasn't ready for that fight. And then, like, if anything, Frank Mir capitalized it, because apparently he didn't capitalize at all when he fought Brock Lesnar. If you saw the fight, you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, that was a really, really bad fight on the side of Frank Mir. I mean, well, you look at it, like, how did he beat Lesnar the first time? He made him tap. He didn't even try to go for a grapple or anything.
But honestly, he should have lost that fight either way. If did you see that fight?
The first one, I did not. I just saw him get put in the armbar.
What
tap.
Happened was, like, the official said that Brock Lesnar knocked him down and he was beating on him, and he said that he hit him on the back of the head. If you watch the fight really closely, he did no such thing, and they brought him back up, and somehow Frank Mir got lucky and then took him out of takedown and capitalized, because Brock Lesnar has really good upper body strength. I mean, it's probably the heaviest in the game right now. But if you see, his legs are a little bit smaller than for his body. So that was what hurt him.
I like that you brought up Brock Lesnar, because that's sort of like a good segue into he's supposed to be fighting Shane Carwin. And everybody's trying to say Carwin is like similar physicality, similar physique, that he's going to be able to run at it with Lesnar. How do you feel? I think Lesnar's going to tear it up. But what do you think about Carwin-Lesnar?
With Carwin and Lesnar, honestly, I haven't seen many Carwin fights. I've only seen one or two, and he was pretty dominant. But
who's he fighting, though? You know what I'm saying? Who's he fighting? He's fighting nobody.
There you go. Like, but with Lesnar, he has that mentality. Like, what I respected about him a lot is that, like, coming up to the fight against Frank Mir, he wasn't talking like no trash about Mir.
And flip on that, Mir was talking mad trash.
Yeah, he was talking trash as soon as he got the interim championship from Noguera. And then, like, respect to Brock Lesnar, because, like, he's a guy who he works hard, and he backs up what he says, not verbally but physically.
And another thing I didn't like is Brock Lesnar, after the fight, you know, had his things to say. He talked bad about the sponsorship. I guess you could say what we would call vulgar, talking about getting on his wife and, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, then Dana White turns around the next day, he's like, oh, you gotta apologize for it. How are you going to talk all this trash, right? Which I'm all about. You know, if you did it, do it. Don't talk trash and don't back it up. If you did it, go on and talk all the trash you want. But how are you going to make a man apologize for what he said? That's Dana White, and that's BS politics.
Yeah, that's what it is, because, like, you know, like, MMA is strong right now, but it still doesn't have, like, the big sponsorship like boxing has. Boxing's secured for sponsorship.
And it's so funny you say that, because I personally love boxing more than MMA. That's where I'm at.
Bud Light's been one of the biggest ones that they have.
They are. Well, I mean, just look at them. Like, then they got Harley Davidson's a big one. But a lot of them, they're doing energy drinks.
Exactly.
Mickey signed on with it when they were sponsoring Tito.
Yep.
You know, and it's like MMA is starting to come up. And sort of, it seems like the younger people are getting really into MMA.
Yep.
And sort of the older people are the ones who are going to kind of fade out with boxing. So like you said, boxing's kind of there, but is there much of a future in boxing? I hope there is, but we really don't know.
I think there is. There's just a big history behind boxing. Each sport has its own, like, set of, like, how you should go into it, you know? Boxing is, like, they both have strategies, you know? So one is more physical than the other, but the other one is, like, they both require stamina. It just depends what you're into. Do you just like to stand up with people, or do you like to get to the nitty-gritty?
But at the same time on that is, like, I do get kind of bored when it's just, you know, people rolling around on the ground and nothing happens. You feel me? Those like, and the refs are getting better about standing people up.
Yeah. I can understand that with some people, but then you gotta also look, like, if you understand the game of like jiu-jitsu or like wrestling and type thing, you're like, and when they pull off the submissions and they're like, oh, you know, you can see that coming, then you understand why. Because I was like that way too when I first started. I said I hate the wrestling. But if you know like a little bit more about jiu-jitsu and how like because you got to watch it, because like if you don't, you can miss a second where it just goes, they get somebody into a submission and then that's the fight right there. So it's just like, you just got to keep watching because anything can happen.
And that is one thing that's very true when they're rolling on the ground. You never know when somebody's getting in submission or like the ones where they get flipped over and they get the reversal.
Exactly.
You get somebody's dominating the whole fight.
Yeah.
Like what, Miguel Torres? That was his name, right?
Yeah.
Miguel Torres, like, you know, something, he'll be dominating the whole fight. All of a sudden he gets flipped. Although that last fight, who did he fight his last fight?
We got served up. He fought a very good contender in Brian Bowles. Brian Bowles got like... Miguel Torres even said it himself. I read a lot into that because Miguel Torres is probably one of my top favorite fighters.
More than BJ Penn? I know you're all about BJ Penn.
Nah, I'm not too big BJ fan.
What? I could have sworn you were.
Nah. I mean, like, I respect BJ, but then like the whole GSP thing was kind of like, I mean, like, you got beat, man. Just leave it as that, man.
Even though he jumped up a weight class, which is very valid. You don't think that's a good excuse? I think that's a good excuse.
I mean, like, what happened? Like, I mean, I understand, like, yeah, he beat you, but just leave it at that. I mean, some people are better at some other weight class. If you could see, like, whatchamacallit, BJ Penn, he trades, but if it's not, like, a certain, like, if his weight class... If he stays at his weight class, which is 155...
That's right, he'll dominate it. He'll tear it up, and that's what he's going
to
do.
He just wants to prove... to people that he could fight, which he doesn't really need to. I mean, because like
with the exception of GSP, he's been stomping everybody, especially in his division.
Yeah, exactly.
No contest.
It's not even like, because BJ Penn has a mentality that if he loses that person, he wants revenge. That's how it is. I mean, like, that's cool and all, but then if between the first fight and the second one, his first fight had a better chance of winning than the second fight did.
Yeah, well, also, back to MMA, because I know you got to cut out, and you are my MMA experts. So we want to run all the MMA we can for this half hour we got. So we got the top. We were going on a couple websites, checking out the top heavyweights.
Exactly.
Obviously, number one, Fedor.
Yeah.
Fedor's a stud. Fedor's a beast. You got to love Fedor, the way he tears it up. He's been dominating everybody in front
of
him.
I mean,
speaking
of
Nogueira, beat Nogueira twice.
Yep.
Beat him soundly at that.
He even beat Krokop, which Krokop was killing people. And then when he faced Fedor... Actually, he's probably one of the smartest fighters in the game.
That's right, because he always changes up his strategy for his opponent. That is exactly right.
If you know Krokop is a kickboxer, and all he does is really use his legs, which is probably it's his money. And
you know, it's really funny because his last fight was Arlovsky, who's the exact same.
Yeah.
Arlovsky's nothing but killing people with his legs. So, you know, maybe he sort of found his niche. Maybe he likes fighting those leg fighters. Maybe that's why he's had a couple against
him. No, it's not that. But, like, going back to, like, with the Krokop thing, it's just because, like, he knew Krokop was a kicker. So what he did was he took him to the ground. So that was smart. But coming up to Arlovsky actually changed up a lot of his fighting. He's been standing up a lot. He kicks, but it's mostly like Muay Thai kicks. But he has been trained by Pacquiao's trainer, Freddie Roach.
Yeah, Freddie Roach over Wild Card.
Because
he's been training a lot of MMA fighters.
Yeah, because Arlovsky actually might also train in boxing. He might do boxing. But if you saw that fight, Arlovsky's just got caught. No, not doubting Fedor, because Fedor beat Tim Sylvia within like 30 seconds.
Yeah, Fedor is probably the baddest man on earth.
And then like what upset me about the whole Fedor thing is just like, not. I wouldn't care if he goes to UFC or not. I really wanted to see him fight Josh Barnett. That kind of hurt my...
And you know, it's funny you talk about Josh Barnett, because on the rankings we've been going to, you know, we got Lesnar number two. We already talked about Lesnar. Josh Barnett's coming up third.
Yep.
And but, so what my question is, why hasn't Barnett fought Fedor right now?
Well, actually, they were supposed to fight. But for some reason, this guy Barnett comes up. This is his second time this happened to him. He's tested positive for steroids.
Fraudulent.
Yeah.
That's fraudulent.
So, like, that's what killed him. Or else they actually would have fought, like, this summer.
Oh, so that was supposed to be the big strike force?
It was, And then when that fell, that's how Affliction went down. That was their big money fight. Yeah,
sucks.
That's why they now, like, Affliction's going downhill. So, yep. It's because of that.
You know, we had a nice little go back and forth about MMA, but this is the brutal honest truth. So We gotta talk about the truth about a little NFL, or maybe not so much NFL, a football story.
Yep.
Adam Pac-Man Jones.
Pac-Man, he's back.
He's back, or so he thought. So yep. Get this. So Pac-Man is... he's out with the NFL. Yep. So Pac-Man says, I'm going to the CFL.
They don't want him either.
And then the CFL doesn't even want him. So where's he going?
UFL.
They dropped the S for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know probably. If it's still United States, just United Football League. But the best part, so for people who don't know about the UFL, I'm going to go into it a lot more details when we get closer to the kickoff, which is in a couple weeks, I believe, first week of October.
Do they start at the same time? Because I thought they start after NFL.
No, they're starting the first week of October. They're going to have games on Versus and on HD Fighting It. But, you know, it's funny because we out here in San Francisco, we got our own team. We got the California Redwoods, coached by none other than Dennis Green. No, and it's kind of funny because Dennis Green, you know, we all know he used to coach at Stanford, so it's sort of a homecoming for Denny Green. And especially, you know, he could have had his chance to come back to the Bay Area, but he said the whole Oakland Raiders situation was volatile, not good. But, you know, I guess he's back in the CFL. Excuse me, the UFL, I meant to say, coaching the California Redwoods. Sure. Also, another funny thing about that, do you remember B.J. Sams, wide receiver?
Yeah, I think he
basically floated around the league for a couple of years. Didn't really do anything. Well, he's the star wide receiver for the California Redwoods.
Where are they going to be playing? I haven't too
much. Kezar, I think. Probably Kezar.
Really?
Where the Niners played way back in the day.
Yeah.
But also on football. No. Brutal Honest Truth. I'm getting fired up over this one. And I know I just got what's your handle? Mike 3, what's your handle?
33.
All right, 33. I know 33 is with me on this one. So Roger Goodell came out and made a public speech and said, public, be prepared for blackouts. It's a tough economy. You're going to start getting blackouts.
He straight up admitted this?
Hold on. But it's true because, you know, the economy's down. But wait a minute. Everybody out here, everybody in the San Francisco Bay, everybody here, we have been blacked out from the Raiders for, I don't know what, last 10 years?
That's true.
And so why is Roger Goodell...
for the Raiders.
Yeah, why is Roger Goodell coming out now? Where was Roger Goodell 10 years ago? Where was Paul Tagliabue?
You know
talking
what?
About trying to make, you know, how should we say, adjustments to the whole blackout policy.
It, you know what? This might even be like a pun to like, just to get people to get NFL Network. You know what I'm saying? Just
but
like
even if they get like, NFL Network, right, even if they get DirecTV, it's like they don't get as much money because they NFL gets a chunk of DirecTV as opposed to the ticket sales. They get everything.
That's true.
What's up, 33? You're sitting over there. You're looking at me. I know you got something to say.
No, it's kind of whack how... All right, I think they should just kind of do without the blackout policy. They really should because you have to sell ad time, and so you're still going to generate revenue when the games show because people will watch. People will watch their teams. Like, as a fan of the Raiders,
that's right.
A diehard Raider fan.
That's right.
Like, we're going to support our team regardless. We've been through the worst of it. The past 6 years, we've had the worst record and like
plus that's what commercials span. Are for you know
that's commercials. Why commercials
and touching on the Raiders, I want to let everybody know that on KSFS this is the official Oakland Raider show on KSFS. And with that said, it's also the official boxing show. And big Peter G, we want to make it the official MMA show of KSFS.
Yeah, I'm down for this.
All right, so that's MMA boxing Oakland Raiders. That's right, the official show. And speaking of the Oakland Raiders, Nnamdi Asamoah is going to be out for 2 weeks. Good news is it's preseason, so that's only the first week of the regular season. Who knows? He might even be questionable by then.
No, actually, you know what I heard? He might be coming back for the opener.
See, and I'm all right when coming back to the opener, but I don't want him to jack himself up.
That's true.
And then get hurt even further for the future, because that ain't good.
That's true. You know, but Nnamdi's then again, like, Nnamdi is dope, but then again, it's going to be harder. Who's the other guy? Is Jai Eugene's the other quarterback? The Raiders, I believe.
Oh, I don't remember. Number 37 came up last year. Yeah. I don't remember his name.
He
right
is
now,
actually going to get like the most.
But he's good, though.
He's good, but he's going to be working this season. He's going to be working.
Yeah, well, we're going to touch a little more on the Raiders a little bit later when we kind of do our breakdown because it is preseason, but football is football. We're definitely going to be touching on football. We're going to talk a little NCAA football, boxing, my sport of choice. We got Mayweather Marquez coming up September 19th. I'm going to get into a lot more. I'm going to dedicate a lot of that show coming up, which I believe is going to be the 16th or so. The 17th it is. I'm going to dedicate a lot of time on that to the fight. There's a lot of good stories around that. We'll touch on that a little bit later. We got a full show today. We're going to talk about Mariah Carey, Eminem. We're even going to talk about the bus. That is the bus that you ride to work. We're talking about everything here. And because there's so many games, we're just going to touch on a couple games for the NFL preseason. But let's hop on to NCAA football. starting tonight, we got a handful of games, but there's one important game, which I want to get onto in a second, because I think that's probably the biggest game of the weekend. But some other big matches we got coming up this weekend. We got BYU and Oklahoma. So
tonight?
What are you? No, that's coming up on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So what's your take on that, Big G?
Oklahoma. All day.
Oklahoma.
Just because you can't go wrong with like having a Heisman quarterback who's comfortable in the pocket. He's very accurate, and that is I forgot his name.
Bradford.
There you go, Sam Bradford. You got two running backs in DeMarco Murray, and then and their other second string running back, not naming him. And they have the best tight end in the NCAA
right now.
BYU,
but they're good, man.
They're
for the
they're
Mountain
good,
West,
they're
good. But the Mountain West is a Mountain West.
Exactly.
Mountain West is
exactly.
Not the Big Ten. Yeah. Are they in the Big 12? Which one's?
Mountain West?
No.
Mountain West is by itself.
No, I know that, but I'm talking about, is it Big 10 or Big 12 the one where Oklahoma's in?
Big 12. That's what Texas.
Big whatever.
Yeah.
Stupid.
And then another like game that's coming up, that's on Monday, that's a big one, especially for me, is the Miami versus Florida State game.
All right, you know, it's funny you say that, but I don't even think it's that big.
Nah, it's big.
Because Miami's garbage. Miami's been garbage for the last couple of years. Last time Miami did good when they lost to Ohio State in the playoffs in what, 2003 in the championship?
Yeah, but look
that
how many people
last
they
good
lost.
Year.
Look how many people's been in the NFL. They had like 6 players go first round that year into the NFL draft.
You said
there. First round.
That year.
Yeah.
All right, they got a whole problem with coaching. You know, they haven't been able to settle down on a solid coach. Miami is messed up. You know, they're just like Michigan, and they're just like Notre Dame. Former superstars, former, how should we say this, just dynasties of college football right now, not too hot. But, hey, you know what? Peter G says watch it. You might want to keep an eye on that one.
I mean, I'm just saying that because I am a Miami hardcore fan, and I'm taking in what Greg says because it is true. They have been down, but their recruiting's been good lately, and I've been keeping up with them. I think it's going to be a good game. It's old school rivalry. It's been going down.
It is
ever
old
since.
School rivalry.
They're not too far from each other.
You know, rivalry.
You want to? It's like a USC versus UCLA, Texas versus Oklahoma.
It's
that type
Cal
of game.
Stanford. You name it. They
there you go. Cal
and it's
Stanford.
Funny that they scheduled that the first game of the season.
Yeah, no,
which is good, good way
it's
to start
just like
up.
It is a way to start up. Most people usually play a weak team so they can get confidence.
That's right.
But if you play like a big team, like. They don't even rank, though, both the teams that are playing, Miami or Florida State. But this is just saying, like, they want to, like, they usually say they had, like, a ritual. Whenever they played, when both of them were the big-time schools, like, number one or two, like, every year for, like, the past, like, 10 years, they said whoever won that game usually wins the national championship. So,
but you said back in the day, Florida State, Florida State's, I think, better than Miami. Florida State's dropped down a little bit, but Miami, man, I'm sorry. I got no love for Miami. Miami's down. Miami's gone. Can they rebuild? Maybe. Is this a year? Not this year.
They can. I believe they can rebuild, and I'm not just saying this as a hardcore fan of Miami because that's the only team I do rep, but I'm just saying it because I've been keeping up with them. They're going back to that mentality. There's a lot of, like, all the players that they had last year who started were all freshmen and sophomores. So I'm not going to say, like, they're going to get national championship this year. It would be awesome if they do. But I see bowl game. I want to see at least a BCS bowl game. It doesn't have to be national championship.
Hold on. You're saying on the Brutal Honest Truth Show, Thursdays, 1:30 to 3 on KSFS. That's KSFSradio.org. You're saying right here on the spot, Miami's going to a bowl game?
No,
are you calling
I
it?
I
want
to see a bowl game.
Oh, man.
I want to see a
Brutal
bowl game.
Brutal Honest Truth isn't about what I want to see. Brutal
I
Honest Truth
it.
Is about calling it
because
out.
Because the thing is that because the ACC, every team is good. But by looking at the rosters, Miami has a solid group of players returning.
That is true. Miami's
and
got a lot of people returning.
If this is Brutal Honest Truth, Miami national champions next season.
What?
Yes,
next season?
I call it that.
It's on wax, as they say it. We got that bad boy on record.
That.
Another good game coming up this weekend on Saturday. Also, we got the Bulldogs of Georgia versus OK State. Only reason I say that's big is because both teams are ranked. Georgia's definitely one of the top dogs in the SEC. Are they better than Florida? We're going to have to wait and find out for when they have the World's Hardest
Cocktail. You talk about Gators, right?
Oh, yeah.
My take on the Gators for this season?
Yeah.
Beastly.
They're good, but I'm calling it, man. I don't think they're going all the way. Something about it, I'm not feeling Tim Tebow.
I'm not seeing undefeated. I think they will go to national championship, But it's kind of early, even though, because like they got everybody on defense that shut down Oklahoma last year returning. That's a big thing, you know, because, you know, defense wins the games. And then Tebow, yeah, he's not like the best passer, but he gets his team hyped up.
He gets it done. You know what I'm saying? He knows how to do it. He's been there for a while.
You seen the photos? He's before, he used to be calm. Last year, he was...
Nah, he getting all rowdy, getting everybody excited. Well, back to Georgia and OK State. OK State is just going to be manhandled by Georgia this weekend. I see Georgia going undefeated until the world's greatest cocktail party. And that's going to be on, guess when? Halloween, baby. October 31st. That's going to be a great game. And... Well, what do you think right now? Georgia, Florida, what's your call?
It depends. It's early because Georgia
It's always early, but we're making conversation.
For Georgia, it's harder. They lost two big guys. They lost Matthew Stafford, their starting quarterback, who's starting for the Lions now. And
allegedly, it could be Dante Culpepper, who hurt himself.
Then there's also Noshon Moreno.
Though, they got almost everybody on defense returning.
That's true, but a lot of them were very injured last night. So they are last year, I mean. But so they're always prone to be more injured, you know. But then again, like, it's a toss up in the SEC. If you're in the SEC conference, you always got a chance to go to the
National Championship. That's right. Everybody in the SEC, which is why it's the most watched and the most loved football conference out here. Pac-10.
LSU might be a surprise to you too.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say it because LSU, they're only a few years removed away from winning the championship.
Yep, they one was around like, I want to say like 04 or 05.
I think it was like 04 or 05, something like that, back when Jamarcus Russell was a quarterback. No, that was a Sugar Bowl when they beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, they beat.
That wasn't for the championship. The year before that was the championship.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, and then also, so back on college, what's up? Speak on it, player.
If you ask Georgia, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma State has the best wide receiver in national college football right now, but that's just saying that.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you have a great wide receiver. Oh, Texas Tech. Texas Tech, they upset Texas last year, but what did Texas Tech do with allegedly the best receiver, Michael Crabtree?
What did they do? They just passed? What do you mean?
No, I mean like successfully. They didn't win no championships. They were good, but they were not superstars.
Oh, no.
Michael Crabtree on the Texas Tech. But just like you said, the receiver at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, but the difference is, did you see any of the Texas Tech game last year?
Yeah, I saw him. I was watching it.
Did you see how much time Graham Harrell had to pass?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Did
you see how much?
He had at least like a good 15 seconds every time. Of course you're going to be like that. But then like Oklahoma State, Georgia, I think Georgia's going to get it done.
Georgia's going to get it done? Yeah, I definitely with you on that. Like I said, I think Georgia's going undefeated till they lose to Florida on October 31st. What's up?
Honestly, last season, I had to pick them to win the national championship.
A lot of people did.
Yep.
You know, you had Stafford looking hot. Noshon Moreno was running like a beast. Yep. You know, the first couple weeks of the season, he was averaging over 100 yards a game. Yeah, Noshon Moreno was tough.
Yeah, he had the highlight reel twice.
I mean, his senior year was a highlight reel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how hot he was. Well, like I said earlier, we got one game I really wanted to spotlight, and that's going to be tonight, 7:15 Pacific Standard Time. That's going to be Boise State and the University of Oregon.
Ooh.
I'm really excited about this. Yes and no. I'll tell you this because Boise State, they're my diamond in the rough because they're playing in the WAC. You know, they're playing with teams that maybe not that hot. Boise State is going places this year. On the Smurf turf, they are going to tear it up. And Oregon, you know what? They're trying to find good direction. They're not quite there. They're trying to get over the hump. They might get over the hump this season, but it ain't going to be the first
game
tonight.
Who's your pick? So your pick on tonight's game is Boise?
Oh, I'm going Boise State. What's up, player?
I think I might go with Oregon on this one, dude. They just got a good core coming back. I've seen a lot of these players play because a lot of them went to schools around my high school, and then. They're a good team. They got a veteran quarterback.
That's a dude from Daly City, right? That quarterback.
Yeah. Masoli, I believe.
Yeah, Masoli.
And then hey, why not, right? Maybe they'll bring out their new uniforms. They got another four
and that's
pairs.
Another thing, man. I don't like it. Just because Phil Knight went to school there. They got like so many different uniforms. Yeah, like, it's so ridiculous.
If you play the game, they have like over 20 different versions that you can put their uniform. It's kind of cool that they got so many uniforms. But then again, it's like they don't have like an image.
That's right. They don't have all they have is their logo. They have
exactly.
Donald Duck.
They got that duck. But then like they don't have like a certain image. Like you don't got like the...
Michigan. Yeah. They got the blue. They got the yellow. That's
exactly
them.
Same thing. Florida State, the Garnett and the the garnet, the red and the gold pants.
That's right. You know? They don't really have an identity because they're flipping, you know, switching time. No, I can't say that. That's not working. Sorry. I was about to say something, but it doesn't really, not appropriate for the radio. I'm not trying to get no strikes. I'm not trying to lose my show. You know, I got another, some new news coming out the NFL today. We got offensive coordinator of the Buccaneers. That is going to be Jeff, I'm not going to say this right, Jagodinski. The offensive coordinator for the Bucs has been fired, let go. So they're making the quarterback's coach the new offensive coordinator. What do you think, Peter G?
About that? Don't know much on the Bucs, honestly, to say.
But like you, we were talking earlier before we got on the air, we were talking about Josh Freeman.
I saw like, I mean, who the quarterback is, the quarterback coach is going to become the new coach?
He's the new head coach. Or the offense coordinator, excuse
me. Okay. Yeah, I can't really say. But well, all I know is like Josh Freeman, like he's good.
He's hella good. But the thing about Josh Freeman is like a lot of people say, now I don't agree with this, but a lot of people say the reason Alex Smith is as weak as he is is because he had, I think they said like 3 offensive coordinators in 4 years or something like that.
Yeah.
He's always changing. So it's like if you agree with that mentality, if you think that really is how it is, Josh Freeman's in trouble because right now he's getting the switches if they keep it rolling.
Honestly, that's how I do agree with that because like You gotta think about this. Like, okay, the first 2 years he had Alex Smith, he had North Turner, I believe. First season, of course, it's not gonna do so well. But the second season, he had a better year, and then they got rid of him, so he had to switch it up again. I'm not saying like that he won't be like he's not a bust, like because he's playing like a bust right now. But you gotta give a person more than like one season to get down, especially if it's a rookie.
That's right. Well, you know, it's like,
that's the same thing with like Jamarcus Russell, for say.
Oh, don't get me. We're going to talk about Jamarcus Russell a little bit later because he needs one more year. I'm tired. And, you know, some of my former show hosts when I had Sports Knowledge 101 with the Shark, with Zach Attack, with Big Papa Knockout, all they ever do is ride me how Jamarcus Russell is a bust.
He got the talent, but I just think the personnel sucks.
It does. I mean, we all know that. I love the Raiders today. You're Raiders, right?
No, I'm not. I'm not with professional sports. I don't really have a team. The only team I root hardcore for is Miami Hurricanes for life, and then Brazil national soccer team.
But Brazil, No, we can talk soccer.
We can talk soccer.
Oh no, hold on. We're flipping the script. We're going on soccer really quick. By the
Brazil, Argentina this weekend. That's a big game right there.
That is a big game. That is a big game.
If they win this game, they're qualified for the World Cup.
But here's the only thing, man, is I love soccer. But why are there so many World Cup qualifiers? Every single other week, there's a World Cup qualifier. And it's like, so, for example, U.S., right? I live for U.S., live and die for U.S., of course. Yeah. Why not? And so U.S. and Mexico, they're playing every other week, damn near. There's like once a month, everybody from the CONCACAF, which is the group that the U.S. is in, the North American team, they're always playing. How many World Cup qualifiers are you going to have?
This is how it works. They have to play each other twice, one at home and one at away for each team that's in their division. And then with that, like, they also have friendlies, so
the friendlies don't count. That's just for people
they
to
don't
play.
Count, but it's good because then like when they go into a qualifying, they still have rhythm because these guys don't play with each other all the time, you know? It's practice is practice, but...
Well, it's funny you say that. They you know, it's practice is practice because at the same time, you got everybody all across the world playing in different leagues. Yeah. Practice ain't really practice. For example, the Gold Cup, the Copa de Oro, when that was about a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
When the U.S., it was 0-0 at the half, and they ended up losing 5-0. It's like half those players were all backups. Like, the only star they had was, like, Brian Chang.
No, they were just doing that because... the World Cup qualifier was coming up, so they honestly, they just they came off a big crushing defeat on the Confederations Cup.
Yeah, they were winning 2-0. They made it there. They made it there, which is a lot to say.
Yeah, they big respects to them, but like they said, they don't want respect for getting that far. They want respect for winning, and it's true. Like they should have won that game, but then you know, in teams like that, Brazil just came up stronger.
And why do you like Brazil? You're not Brazilian.
I know, but then again, like, I don't, my country never makes it to...
what country is that, PG?
I'm from Burma, Myanmar now. And then we never make it, so I pick a team. And I'm not saying I pick Brazil because they're the best, because I didn't start watching soccer till like, 95.
I have a question for you, Peter G.
Sure.
Why are you a communist?
Why am I a communist?
Why are you not liking the United States?
So, how so?
What? You said Brazil's your team.
Yeah, but doesn't mean I don't respect the U.S. team.
It's not about respect. It's about living and dying. The brutal, honest truth, Peter G. Come on, man.
What are you talking about? If my country were to make it to the Winter Olympics,
Should. You should. Yeah. You know what? But what about the U.S.? How are you going to take Brazil over the U.S.?
Because I can. That's just how it is.
You're killing me.
You want to know the brutal, honest truth?
Yeah, speak on it. There we go.
Because I can.
Because that's what we're all about. Because
nobody else can tell me I can and I can't, right?
That's true.
So
that's the last freedom we got, the freedom of choice.
I mean, like, if you're saying that. But it's just that, like, why am I picking Miami if I could just pick Cal? Well, or USC.
I hate Cal. I grew up in Berkeley. I hate Cal. I'll be the first to tell you that.
I hate
USC.
Cal too.
USC,
see,
man.
That's
everybody.
The first thing we agreed on. We all both right. hate Cal.
And it's funny you talk about UFC, because, man, when are they going to make UFC an independent so they can start playing some other freaking schools? Pac-10, I got lots of love to the West Coast. I love California. I would never leave. USC, it's almost like practice when they play everybody else. If they were an independent team, they're a private school anyways, they could pick big time. Imagine if UFC every single year went against a Georgia, a Florida, Ohio. Well, they do already go against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like,
they're actually playing Ohio State second game or third game.
They do this year for the... What's the name of that? There's always weird names for
I don't know. It's in the horseshoe, though. The Buckeye Stadium.
Yeah. All I know is that whenever they play at Notre Dame, it's for the Jeweled Shillelagh or whatever. Whatever the hell a shillelagh is. But yeah, USC, man, they need to get out the Pac-10 because they're just killing it in that division. Although UCLA is 7-on-up. You know, Peter G has to cut out, but that's all right. Because like I said, he'll be back, hopefully. That is if he doesn't get his class. But so let's hope he doesn't come back so he can get his class. He can graduate on time. So I'm going back to running this bad boy solo. So my sport of choice, like I said before, is boxing. So I want to do a little touch up. I want to talk about some of the lighter weights, the lighter weight classes in the boxing sport. So let's start off. I got a little breakdown of the super lightweight. So this is about these are the people I'm going to talk about. They're from the weight ranges of 105 to 115. So in the 105 weight class, the minimum weights, the straw weights, whatever you want to call them. Number one, we got Roman Gonzalez El Chocolatito. He just beat Takayama over in Japan, regarded by many as the number one fighter at 105. And next up, oh man, this is a name I've been struggling with forever. Koshinati Joya. Basically, Koshinati Joya is not leaving South Africa. He's regarded by many. He's got a record of 20-0. He's regarded as many by many as the number two fighter at 105. He needs to leave South Africa. Roman Gonzalez is from Nicaragua. Yeah, he goes to Mexico, but he goes around a little bit more. And Joyi, needs to leave South America. And then another good fighter we got at 105. We got Raul Garcia sitting on a record of 27-0-1. Now, unfortunately, I just want to give a little disclaimer out there. Unfortunately, people don't really know, the general public doesn't know that much about the lighter weight classes, and it really is a shame. So I really urge everybody out there, whenever you can, please try to watch some of the lighter weight classes, because they're very athletic, they're very talented, just like the other weight classes. And I'll be the first to tell you, they're better than the heavyweight division. But I'm going to get on that a little bit later in a couple of weeks. Next, we're going to talk about the junior flyweight. That's going to be at 108 pounds. So Ivan Calderon is going to be fighting Rodel Mayol on September 12th. You know, it's funny this happening because Calderon's top guy at 108, and it's a rematch because the last fight they had with Mayol and Calderon ended in a headbutt, so it was a no contest. Next up, we got an American, which is good because generally you think of the lightweights, you think about Japanese, you think about Central and South America. Obviously, you got some over in South Africa, not so much, a little bit in Europe, not so much Europe, but mostly coming out of Asia. We got Brian Viloria from Hawaii. Brian Viloria, who just won a couple weeks ago, he beat Jesus Uribe, and he got a good unanimous decision. I believe that was this past Saturday night. A very good fight for him. We also have Edgar Souza. And Edgar Souza is going to be fighting Omar Soto on September 15th. That's coming up real soon. A lot of people think that that Edgar Souza is definitely one of the top fighters in the division. You can't forget Ulises Solis. He actually lost to Brian Viloria, but he's still very good. And Giovanni Segura. He TKO'd Juanito Rebellion. And that's going to be rounded out for the 108 division. Next, I'm going to jump up to the flyweights. Now, here's some names that you might recognize some of these names. We got the champion, or I think the champion at 112. We got Daisuke Naito coming out of Japan. He fights only in Japan and Thailand. I'm waiting for Daisuke to come on out to the you know, the U.S., come out to the West Coast, maybe Vegas, but unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen. So Daisuke Naito, who is the WBC 112 champ, he's going to be fighting Koki Kameda. That's going to be in Japan also. That's going to be on November 29th. Next, we got Pong Select Wujongkom, who just beat Masada August 28th. He also needs to leave Asia. He's got a record of 73-1, and he needs to leave Thailand because he's just staying in there. And then we got Omar Navarez versus Victor Zaleta on October 3rd. And really quick, I'm just going to talk about the last weight division. We got the super flyweights coming in at 115. The champion who has the WBC, the WBO, and the IBF 115 title, that would be Vic Darchinian. Well, he just lost to Joseph Ibeko, but he went up in weight class. He went up to the 118, and he basically got served up pretty good by Joseph Ibeko coming out of South Africa. We all remember Vic Darchinian recently, before his fight with Ibeko, he really destroyed El Travieso, who I like very much, Jorge Arce. He destroyed Jorge Arce, and his fight, earlier fight a couple years ago, he had against Nonito Donaire, who is from the Bay Area. Granted, he was born in Thailand, but, if Bay Area is from San Leandro, now he's living over in San Carlos. He just had a fight. I'll talk about him in a second. But he lost. He got KO'd by a strong left hook. And I believe it was the sixth round a couple years ago. Darchinian got up, said he wasn't hurt. Maybe he slipped. I don't know. There was a 10 count before he got up. That's it. It's over. And Darchinian sort of waiting. We got to see what his next title is going to be. There's a little bit of politics involved. Darchinian fought for Gary Shaw. Nonito Donaire used to fight for Gary Shaw, but Donaire had a big falling out with Gary Shaw, and Shaw said the fight was never going to happen. So we'll see. Hopefully that fight will happen. But back to Nonito Donaire. He fought Rafael Concepcion a couple weeks ago. And it's funny because when he fought Concepcion, he weighed 6 pounds over the limit. Now, it may not sound like a lot, but in these lighter weight classes where it is about 3 to 4 pound difference between weight classes, that's 2 weight divisions more. Not to mention the rehydration that gets involved when they, rehydrate themselves to get back up. So Nonaire, and it's funny talking about that fight because he said, I'm gonna destroy Concepcion. And, he looked like he was going to do that. At the beginning, he came out, he was dancing, he was flying, and then he got caught with a straight with a right cross. He got caught really hard. And I think right then you could see in his face, he recognized the weight difference, and he played he fought a little more smarter fight. He was working the jab. He was staying on the outside. He was moving around a lot. And it's really funny because Concepcion said that, I wish he would have stand and fought me. It was like, well, shoot, if you're weighing 6 pounds over the weight limit, 2 weight class difference, you expect somebody to stand right in front of you and trade? I mean, you wouldn't have gotten the title, but still, it was just for the policy. And Concepcion ended up losing some money because he didn't make weight. But Donaire was a spirited fighter, and he made a good fight out of that. That was very good. And like I said earlier, Jorge Arce, who I love, he's fighting Simfi Nungaya, and that's going to be on September 15th. I'll tell you what, right now, I'm just going to interject. It's been about 40 minutes of me talking, and I could talk the whole time. Calls, please, people, call in. I need your love. Area code 415-338-1532, 415-338-1532. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to take myself a quick break. Like I said, I promise you it won't be very long, and I will be back very, very, very soon. Not that soon. May not work, but it works good enough. We'll be right back. to the brutal, honest truth. Now, this is a brutal, honest truth. We've been doing a lot of sports, but the show is not just about sports. It's really about everything. It's about the truth in advertising, the truth in everything. We're all about the truth here on The Brutal Honest Truth. Once again, the number here, 415-338-1532. I got to do the legal. KSFS at San Francisco State once per hour. Oh, well, I'm just supposed to say San Francisco State, but whatever. You know how it is. Things changing, and that's just how the fun stuff goes. So, it's, you know, we've been talking a lot of sports. We're going to switch it up a little bit. I got a special guest coming in the studio today. Special guest, what's your handle, man? What's your nickname? I know you're the love doctor, but what's your name?
Chance Hill.
Oh, man. I tell you, man, when you hear his voice, the ladies, girls get moist. You know how it is. That's how he rolls. Right. But, you know, it's really funny because I brought him in here because we were talking earlier, and he said he had some issues with the bus, because I'm definitely going to talk about public transportation. I'm all about AC Transit. Well, I'm not all about it, but that's what I did, because growing up in Berkeley, over in Oakland, that area,
mm-hmm.
all the way up to Richmond, we had AC Transit. We suffered with that. But I want Chance. He was telling me about the story. Chance, tell me the story, player, about when you were down in L.A.
All right, this happened about a good 4 or 5 years ago. Now, I'm on one of the worst bus lines of all of the city of L.A. If you guys are familiar with the town, this bus that runs on Firestone Boulevard and Manchester Avenue through the hood to like the, you know, okay part of town to the beach, which is very, very nice.
So basically, so you go from the hood to the beach on one line.
Yeah.
That sounds good,
yo.
But it ain't.
It ain't. I'll tell you why. See, all the hood folks ride up on this bus and they dominate pretty much the entire way, right? But this is from my observations. Now, I'm in a part of the town called Inglewood, right?
That's right, where the Lakers used to play.
Where the Lakers used to play at the Great Western Forum. Now it's called the Forum.
Did they do concerts and stuff there?
They do a lot of concerts, man.
I'm sure.
Some gospel stuff, too.
Oh, cool. Everything. They got over in Oakland. Yeah, every single time I'm over in Oakland, I see the Coliseum, they always got big gospel stuff happening.
There's a lot of money flying around, that's for sure.
Ooh, that's the truth. I'm with you on that. Yeah.
So check this out now. I'm chilling in the back of the bus, man. All right, I noticed there was just like this hoodlum, right? You know, he wasn't bothering me. He was minding his own business. And then, you know, next thing, then, you know, he got out of his seat and sat next to this little girl. You know, she was like, you know, I can't say this word on the air, but, you know, she was kind of...
Do we call her a bop?
I'm not familiar with that term, but...
Girls that like to get around?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, so she was a bop.
Okay, you know, that's a Bay Area term, right?
I guess. That's what I heard it at work. Mean,
okay, yeah, cool. It has to be okay. It ain't no L.A. thing.
I heard it from some young kids, too. Kids like 19, 20. I'm not that old, but I didn't hear about no bops. So, yeah. Well, anyway, so the next girl was a bop. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not the only one missing out on it. Good.
So check this out now. You know, he got out of his seat, you know, sat next to this bop, right? And he was saying, hey, Trick, what's your name? You looking good today. You know? And, you know, she was saying, brother, my name is Don Quisha.
Don Quisha?
Yeah.
Wait, no relation to Don. Oh, it was a joke, man. What's the name of the dude from Soul Train?
Don Cornelius.
Yeah, thank you. No relation to Don Cornelius. Don Quisha is no relation to Don Cornelius.
Nah. I mean, I don't know nothing about the lady. She didn't look like Don Cornelius, you know? Of course, you know, she didn't have the Jerry curl, you know, and the microphone. Say, hey, this is the Soul Train, Lord.
That's right. Get on it.
Nah, get on that thing. Yeah, you know, that's how it all happened, man. You know, these are two, like, ghetto people talking to each other, man. I thought it was kind of funny and at the same time beautiful, you know?
I know what you mean, man. You're sitting back watching them go at it. And you know what, man? I really wish you could tell the story in details, but you know what? Man. Constraints, it is what it is. You know, we're not going to complain about too much. Mm-hmm. But it's funny you talk about the bus, because like I said, I grew up with AC Transit. I didn't get my license until I was 18. So I used to do AC Transit everywhere. And here's the thing that really pisses me off. I used to take AC Transit to Berkeley.
Yeah.
When I was living in Berkeley, I took it over to when I went to middle school. So back in the day, it used to cost like $30 for a bus pass, which whatever. You know, that's reasonable. $30 for a bus pass, you can sort of afford that. They have a little placard on the sign, right? Right now it says Best Bus 2005. I want to know, where was this bus when I was riding a bus? Because anybody knows who rides AC Transit knows it is not the bus, best bus no year. And why is it $80 for a bus pass? $80. And the worst part about it is that I was talking to people at work about this. They said, oh, but why are you talking so bad about the bus? Why are you talking so bad? You got to pay for gas, all this stuff. One of them goes to Cal, so he doesn't have to pay for the bus. He gets to go to the bus, gets to ride the bus for free. The other one, don't even take the bus. So what? All these people talking good about AC Transit don't ride the bus. I used to ride the 43 right in front of my house all the way to my buddy's house over on Foothill and 20th. We ride all the way through downtown Oakland up Foothill. That was a horrible bus. Ooh. We have to wait for 15 minutes at downtown Oakland for no reason whatsoever. And drivers, man. LA, are the drivers hella mean?
Yes, they are. Let me tell you about that. Now, more about that 115.
Oh, tell me, player.
See, it's cool, man. Like, in broad daylight, see, if you don't catch the 115, you catch the 315.
It's funny you say that because we got a bus. The 51 used to be my lifeline. And for people in Berkeley, they know 51 goes through Oakland, Alameda. It's a very good bus. Every 10 minutes is their motto.
Oh, that's bad.
I waited out there 40 minutes. Whoa. And four buses come in a row. What's up with this? Every 10 minutes? And this is what my taxes are paying for? I got to pay $80 a month for a bus pass? That's so ridiculous. And look, I know homeless people got a ride.
Right.
But come on now. Can't they like put them in like the front in the corner or something instead of like scattering them out throughout the whole bus? You know what I'm talking about.
You know what? Okay, hold on, man. Now with the 115, there's even more information on this bus that you should know and all the listeners.
Oh, please.
All the KSFS listeners should know. I mean, once again, all right, you already heard about, in case you just joined for the show right here, you know, I was riding on the 115. Then, you know, this one hood guy, you know, he told this one Bob lady, you know.
Bop. Like pop, but with B.
Sorry. Well, she was kind of bobbish, you know. Like,
bobbish. I know what you mean. Like I know what you mean, player.
So, you know, bobbish bop, you know. But anyway, you know, she was, he was saying, hey, Trick, you look good today. You know, you got fill in the blank with that, you know?
Yeah.
And then she was saying, brother, my name is Don Quisha up in this rich.
Are you know? Serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Wait.
Oh, it ain't over.
There's even, it ain't over, man. I'm serious. And it ain't no fat lady involved with this either. Oh. Although I got a story with that in a few minutes.
Oh, all right, lay it on me,
man. All right, check this out, man. Check this out. So, you know, the two was they were talking, you know, they were all cuddling up, you know, being romantic. You know, it was a nice thing to see. It was, at the same time, it was hella funny, man. Right? Check this out. Guy, I guess he was trying to, he was trying to make his move a little too fast. And then he was saying, Trick, man, you stuck up. You ain't nothing but a damn Trick, you know? And she was saying, so what, brother? I don't give up.
Oh, man. And this is the youth of America.
Yeah, I'm saying, this on a 115, man. You know, the elderly all around. You know, little kids walking on the bus. I said, man, this bus got everything.
No, man, it's really funny you say that because, you know what, with like high schoolers, when they ride the bus,
mm-hmm.
boy, they tear man. It up. Granted, I feel bad. I used to do it too. But mm-hmm. They should have a rule on the bus, just like a liquor store is only two in a store at a time.
Yeah.
Only like four high school students on a bus at a time.
Oh, man.
Because they get together, they get all rowdy. And when you talk to people like me, it's like, I used to do that. It's like, well, come on, people. You know, let's make it a good experience for everybody.
Right.
Or try to. Damn, bus. I hate the bus.
Check this out, man.
What's up, player?
Another time, I was on that 115 again. You know, this is going into, like, you know, a little bit more better side of town. Man, everything was cool, man. Then we just come to a stop. All these people, you know, I guess got on the bus, which was cool. I don't have a problem, you know. Then, you know, I noticed, like, this overweight lady, you know, about to board the bus. People in the back of her were saying, oh, my God. Oh, my freaking God. You know, oh, the odor is so terrible. I was saying, I don't smell nothing. And then, you know, she got on the bus, you know, had like five bags and two kids with her. I said, please don't sit next to me.
And she sat right next to you, right?
And then she said, excuse me, young
man. Because you know Chance is a gentleman.
I had to conform to the standards on the bus now, ladies and gentlemen. I had to. You know, I mean, I didn't have a problem, you know, I mean. But the moment she sat down, I said to myself, Oh my, I'm gonna be sick.
Oh.
Man, I mean, she, you know, I'm not making this up, man. So she can't sue me for libel and or slander. I'm not giving no names out here.
No, yeah, no names. No name dropping.
I don't even know her name to begin with. I don't even think I want to. But anyway, man, she just wreaked a horrible a horrible odor, man. Mm. I mean, you think the locker room smells funky? Man.
Oh, that's nasty.
Ooh, I don't think I can say this over the air, man.
But it was bad?
It was pretty bad, man.
It's funny. I got a good story for you. This didn't happen on AC Transit. This actually happened on BART. This was a couple years ago. I used to have season tickets to the Raiders. I was over in Section 338 with my buddy Diamond Joe. We used to have our tickets together. Long story short, I don't have my tickets anymore. But coming back from it was the Monday night opener. It was the Raiders. It was the Chargers. The Raiders lost by a lot. Everybody was way too drunk. So we're riding the I'm riding on the way back to Richmond. I live in Berkeley, so going, you know, bus to Richmond. Maybe the BART to Richmond. And there's, you know, people, whatever, there are people doing their thing, getting all rowdy. People, you know, it's a couple older black guys, you know, like one guy's brown bag and it looks like whiskey or something. Whatever, I don't mind. And then a girl gets on a Fruitvale, right? And you know she's thinking, why'd I have to go out on a Raider game? Because, you know, us Raider fans, we tear up the bus. I'm BART. Man. Well, we tear up the bus, too, but we tear up the BART. So she got on, and there was one of the dudes brown bagging it, right? He was sitting on the outside of the seat, so the inside was open.
Yeah.
And so he got up, like he's offering his seat. Here, have a seat. She's like, oh, thanks. What a gentleman. You know, so she sits down on the window by the window, right? Mm-hmm. He goes around the back, and some BARTs, they sort of have a little thing for you to wait, you know, like a little area, a space where you can stand. You don't have to sit.
Yeah, right. When
he goes there, turns his back, starts urinating. On the BART, somewhere between, I believe it's 12th Street, MacArthur. Maybe it was between, Lake Merritt and 12th.
Ooh,
but my. Yeah, so he urinates on the bus. Then he sits right back down next to her, the girl he gave the seat to, trapping her in there. And you can see in her face, she's like, oh, what did I get into? Meanwhile, his buddy, because they were talking, his buddy was real drunk. He was one brown bag in the whiskey. His buddy was talking to some guy who was probably like 25, maybe 24, getting him all rowdy, talking about, hey, let's go to Nations. Damn. Hey, man, let's go to Nations. Let's get cheeseburgers. Let's get cheesecakes. And then the drunk dude was getting hella rowdy. He's like, yeah, we about to go to Nations. About to get some cheeseburgers. They open all night, getting all fired up. And the dude was getting hella rowdy. It's like the guy wasn't even rowdy at the football game. He's getting rowdy on the bus about the cheeseburgers. So you got people brown bagging it on BART. You got people pissing on BART.
Damn.
That's the Bay Area, man.
What? See, I thought all that crazy stuff only happened where I'm from, man. You know, South Central and Compton and all that stuff, man. I thought the Bay Area was all, you know, look at me. I'm from the Bay Area. I'm fucking freaking don't worry, classy, keep going. You know?
Yeah, well, you know what, man? You know, much love to the East Bay. That's where we're from. Yeah, well, that's where I'm from.
Well, I'm living in the East Bay right now. Oh, so
okay, where are you saying? Oakland?
In the hills of Oakland, man.
Hills? It was nice over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm over in El Cerrito. But it's funny. Now, while you're here, before you leave, I definitely want to get your 2 cents.
No problem.
Did you hear? I got an interesting story I found out. Came over the AP wire yesterday.
What's your story?
A guy in Florida, where I'm not entirely sure, a guy in Florida is hospitalized. And I'll tell you why in a second. So he was going to county jail. He was on trial for something. He killed somebody. And he ended up getting like a plea for manslaughter. Mm-hmm. And so he ended up getting out, right? And so they kind of took him out. And then he goes to the front of the county jail and he says, let me back in. And they're like, what do you mean? We can't let you back in. He's like, I'm afraid that they're going to do something. The person I killed, they're going to retaliate against me. They're like, no, you're not the state's problem. You got to leave.
Wow.
He climbed over the fence, slipped, cut himself on the razor wire, and now he's in the hospital for trying to break back into jail.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, wait. Now, let me get this straight now, partner. If the judicial system, correct me if I'm wrong about this, is going to discharge this former prisoner, right?
No, because he wasn't a prisoner. He was in county jail during the trial.
Sorry, the county
and
jail.
And so, you know, they felt time served. He was going to be on parole. He was supposed to be out.
Wow.
I guess he wanted back.
I mean, well, you know what? I mean, perhaps he didn't know anything better to do with his life.
But whatever. I mean, breaking back into prison?
I mean,
come on now.
I know if I was him, I'd leave. I'd probably go somewhere else.
Well, Chance, I'll tell you what, man. This is a sports show. We do talk about everything. You give me some North sports knowledge, man. What's your special? You a Warriors guy? You a Lakers guy? You a Clippers fan? What's up?
Well, if anything, be honest with you, bro. I don't follow sports like I used to. But I do like NFL, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
I'm not knowledgeable like a couple of people I know around here, like, you know, Mr. Charles Palmer. And,
oh, that's right.
You know, Mr. Kendall, yourself.
Thank you. But it's all right. It's all good. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I got an interesting. So, you know, Steven Jackson is? He's a shooting small forward for the Warriors.
I don't.
All right, well, check this out, man. Steven Jackson. So here's the thing. The Warriors just signed him to a big contract, right? And they want him to stay. And now he obviously because he signed him to a contract. Mm-hmm. He's basically saying, I want out. I want to get out of here, right? It's bad because he just re-signed the contract and now he wants to get out. But even worse than that, I got to, because this is a brutal honest truth with Gorgeous Greg on KSFS. I want to call out Steven Jackson for endorsing these Protégé sneakers. I play basketball. I bought a pair of these Protégé sneakers. Al Harrington and Stack Jack, Steven Jackson, are both on TV in the magazine saying, if I wear these protégés, mm-hmm. you can wear these protégés. Okay, I'll wear the protégés. I ball hard. I don't ball just, you know, for the fun of it. Like, I go for serious.
Right.
So I go the first time, right? I'm like, you know what? I sort of got a little blister going on my foot. It ain't too bad. I play again. I ripped about, how should I say, about 2 inches off my foot. Ooh. I ripped off the bottom of my foot.
Wow.
It was horrible. It was painful. I literally could not walk for about 2 weeks.
Mm.
So curse you, Steven Jackson. And speaking on basketball, Ricky Rubio, get this. This guy got drafted by Minnesota, like number 7 overall, and they wouldn't give him the kind of money he wanted. So what's he doing? He's going to Spain to play basketball.
What?
That's right.
Now, wait, let me get this straight here. So the Timberwolves.
That's right. They drafted him.
Drafted him.
6 or 7. They drafted him.
So he's not satisfied with the amount of money he's getting from this
contract? So he'd rather go back to Spain where he's from, and he's playing over in the Spanish team.
What? I assume he's getting more, right?
Well, I don't know, but whatever. He wants to leave. He wants to leave. It's
damn,
a free country.
Man,
and speaking
goodness.
Of the Warriors actually just picked up Mikey Moore. He's a center, 11-year vet. He's played basically in a lot of teams. He's played everywhere. Most recently, last year, he played Sacramento, where he averaged 3.9 points a game, 3.7 rebounds, and about 17.2 minutes a game. And so, since it looks like Peter G ain't coming back, which means he got into his class, which is cool, it's time to kick a little NFL action. So what do you think, Chance? You down to hang around for some NFL action?
Yeah, I mean, like, pretty much, you already know, man, my life is always busy. I'm either up here in the Bay Area or L.A. or
he's always
driving
doing
in between. I'm always doing
he's
something,
he's so international.
Man. International. Well, once I make that money, you know.
That's right.
I'll be in London, Paris, you know, Dubai.
Dubai, everywhere.
Ivory Coast.
Where are you not going to be when you start making money?
The hood.
As soon as you get it, you're getting on out.
Well, you know, I lived in the hood. I grew up in the hood my whole life. You know, South Central L.A., Watts, you know, little, not really Compton, you know. But I have some relatives over there.
Yeah, I got folks from Compton, so it's all good.
I'm not putting it down. You know, I'm proud of where I come from. But I mean, there's a time in your life, you know. I mean, it's time to progress. You know, you gotta do better than what your parents did. You know, I mean, you know, that's my philosophy about things. You know, it's time to improve yourself, and that's one of the reasons why I'm in school. You know, it's all about trying to, you know,
for the education, get yourself taken care of. Well, before I start on sports, I got my last non-sports topic I want to get on. Are you familiar with the whole Mariah Carey Eminem thing?
Oh, they're beefing right now.
Yeah. Well, here's my problem, man. My problem with this is I want to know, why is Mariah Carey getting all upset? Eminem talks trash, and you know he doesn't mean it. He's all talk. He talks about everybody. Why does she even care? You know why? I found out why. I've been talking to my experts on the situation. You know whose master plan it is? Nick Cannon.
Cannon.
It's all Nick Cannon's master plan. He's trying to get back into it. I'm telling you. You know the worst part about Nick Cannon? Do you know how old Nick Cannon is?
He's in his early 20s, right?
30 years old.
30?
I am not joking.
Hey,
no, Nick Cannon is 30 years old. Look it up.
What?
I am not joking.
Nah.
He is hella old. I am not joking at all.
Prior to his marriage, right, with Mariah Carey.
Are they married?
I think they're married.
Are they together? We don't know. Well, they're together.
Well, they're together. Little relationship. The man looked very, he possessed a lot of youth.
And he looked like a stomp the yard. You know, he looks youth. And maybe she's running ragged. Oh. Well, you know, I got a funny story about Mariah Carey. We're talking about Mariah Carey. We got to bring up the whole Rihanna herpes thing. You remember this? We're bringing it back. So, you know, we all know Chris Brown handled this thing with Rihanna.
That happened in L.A.
It shouldn't have happened. You know, it's brutal, honest truth. We're brutal and honest about the truth, but we don't endorse domestic violence of any sort.
Mm-hmm.
However, we got some good reasons why this actually happened, so I'm just going to touch on it really quick. So, Rihanna was with Derek Jeter, who was with Mariah Carey, who was with Old Dirty Bastard. That is how herpes came along and caused violence in that relationship. Because what happened was Chris Brown cheated on Rihanna with another girl, got her herpes.
Wow.
So
it's all in
girlfriend.
The family,
girlfriend got it from Chris Brown. Got it from Rihanna. Got it from Derek Jeter. Got it from Mariah Carey. Got it from ODB. Because when ODB did that that song like '97 with Mariah Carey, you know something was happening there.
Damn, you. See, you know, if you really think about it, now it's all in the family, you know?
That's what I'm saying. It's like celebrities. There's not a lot of them. They always circulate. It all comes back the same, be it herpes, be it whatever it is.
And you know what? See, I noticed it's a little bit off the topic here.
Speak on it.
But
it's
if
all
someone,
about-
someone in the backup department told me if I wasn't with my lady, you know, would I date like a dime piece or a fine little woman in our department? And my answer would be no.
For real?
For real. I don't care if she's a dime or a dozen or whatever, man. Well, I met a dozen before,
diversify.
Believe me, man.
Diversify.
Oh, you know how it is. Nah, I really, you know, because, you know, for one, I mean, I don't want to be the talk of the town around here.
That's
you
right.
Know?
And so, you know, it's funny because it's like, you know, Becca, man, the Becca program, we're tight.
Oh, I love the Becca department.
We know
man,
each other. But if some drama goes down,
oh, yeah,
it gets known. It gets known. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, you know, I said at the top of the show, we were definitely going to talk a little NFL action. It is the preseason. It's only the preseason, but we still right. like to talk about it just because we love football so much.
And the real season is going to kick off like next week or 2 weeks
next
from now, right?
Next Thursday. And okay. I will definitely have a big-time kickoff show coming after me. We got Big Papa Knockout. Like I said, he's my former co-host a couple semesters ago. I love Big Papa to death. Mm-hmm. You know he's going to be talking some hot NFL action. So I'm just going to touch on three of the games for the preseason, a couple of which are happening tonight or today. Yeah, it's only 2:30. So, yeah, so we got the Giants and New England. New England, this is a rematch of the Super Bowl from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. The Giants, they have the whole drama. Plaxico Burress, he's going to jail. He's not, you know, he's not going to be on the team. Yeah, last year he wasn't on the team. They still did a very good job. I think the Giants are going to do very good. They're definitely going to dominate the NFC East, although it's a very tight division. Definitely solid all around the team. Justin Tuck was very good a couple years ago because he had Umanyura and he had Strahan on the outside and they had him in the middle. He was defensive tackle. He was a good defensive tackle. Strahan left. Umanyura got hurt. Basically moved him to the end and he's not as solid at the end as he is in the middle just because he's the right hybrid. He's the perfect size. He's fast, but he's strong enough that he can dominate in the middle. And then you look at New England. New England, Teddy Bruschi just retired. He's actually from Roseville, so semi-local guy. Teddy Bruschi just retired. He was a little linebacker. The ex-Raider, Derek Burgess, he's there now. I think his best years are behind him. I'm okay that the Raiders lost him. They don't need him. He's definitely – he's old. He was very good. He's going to be next to Vince Wilfork. That's going to be a very strong D-line. This game right here, I think that the Giants are going to pull it out in the end. The secondary of the Patriots – I don't know if it's all there. They said Brady's going to play anyways. We'll have to wait on that bad boy. Next up, we got the defending Super Bowl champions. We got Pittsburgh against Carolina, against the Panthers. So, as I said before, Pittsburgh are the defending champions. They can possibly this year go for the number seven Super Bowl. Get this. Okay. There were three teams tied, Chance. Three teams tied for five championships. There was the Niners, the Cowboys, and the Steelers. Last year when the Steelers won, that's number six.
Wow.
The most out of any team. Think about it. Some teams don't even have championships.
That's true.
Raiders, we got three. You know, and none to shake a stick at. So, you know, they could be going for the 7-1. I don't think they're going to do it. What? The Raiders have four? What?
Oh, when they were the L.A. Raiders, I suppose.
No, they have three because they got it in 77, 80, and then 83. The last one they got when they were in L.A., they went to five Super Bowls. They went to the night Super Bowl number two and they lost to the Packers. I'm sorry, man. They won three. And then they lost to the Buccaneers. So they've been to five in four different decades. No other team has done that. back to Pittsburgh and possibly could win their seventh title. I don't think they're going to. Teams rarely repeat the championship. Carolina got absolutely embarrassed in the NFC Championship. They are going to look. They got a sour taste in their mouth all year because, you know, when you lose the last game of the year, you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't leaving you. It's with you for the whole season, for a long time. You remember it. Now, Julius Peppers got the franchise tag. He's getting a lot of money. He's not guaranteed. He's very upset with that. He's trying to get the fat contract. And Jake Delhomme is 34 years old. Granted, Brett Favre is still playing, and he's ancient.
I can't believe, you know, come on. I mean, I grew up watching football in the 90s with my grandfather. I mean, like, once again, back in the day, I was more involved with watching the NFL, that's for sure, because I had more time on my hands. But, I mean, I remember Brett Favre when he had his jersey number 4 with the Green Bay Packers.
These people are trying to say that the Raiders have four titles. That's just not right. I believe they won a couple AFL championships.
67, 76.
67 wasn't the champ. 67 was the AFL championship.
Oh, you're right.
Thank you. They said 67, which was the AFL championship. It's all good. Three Lombardi trophies, but they got a couple championships. John Madden took. Oh no, I'm sorry. That was John Madden. That was Al Davis took them there back when their quarterback was. Oh, it's killing me. Tom Flores, who won two Super Bowls as a coach with the Raiders. The last team I'm going to touch on, the last game for preseason, I'm definitely talking about my Oakland Raiders because this is the official Raiders show on KSFS. Don't get it twisted. We got Oakland at Seattle Seahawks. I hope Big Papa's going to show up because he's from Seattle. He loves Seattle. Maybe we can shoot around this a little bit later. Seattle, they need a big comeback year. The AFC West wasn't as strong as it could have been. The Cardinals were very good last year. They went to the Super Bowl. I and a lot of other people think that was a fluke. I don't think it's going to happen again. Kurt Warner's older. Granted, Matt Leinart's looking pretty good in the preseason, but the Arizona's not going to be as good as they were. Seattle's going to turn around. You got Matt Hasselbeck's looking solid. If he can stay healthy, they picked up Edgerrin James. Edgerrin James, let's see if he's as good as he used to be back with Indiana. He was decent with the Cardinals. He wasn't as outstanding as he was back in Indiana. Hushmanzada was their big pickup. Only problem is Hushmanzada in Seattle, he's going to be the other side of Deion Branch. Now, the reason Hushmanzada was so great was because he was on the other side of Chad Johnson. Chad Johnson's a stud. Deion Branch, he's a Super Bowl MVP, but in that Super Bowl MVP, he didn't get a single touchdown. So whatever, you can keep that. So he's not that hot. Deion Branch is good, but he ain't the best. So you got Branch and Hushmanzada. They're not going to be that dominant, but I still look to see Seattle do pretty good this season. Now we got to talk about my Raiders. I'm tired of people talking about Jamarcus Russell is a bust. Jamarcus Russell is not a bust. You have to give him more time. You have to give him 3 years. His first year, he didn't have because of the whole holdout situation. Second year last year, basically his rookie year, it was off and on. You know, he's basically getting warmed up. This is the make or break year for Jamarcus Russell. I think he's going to do it. He has a decent O-line. It's not the best O-line, but it's a decent O-line that's going to hold it and just try to give him some time. They got three outstanding running backs in Fargus Bush. And don't forget McFadden. And then on the defensive side, the defense needs work. The defensive line, with the exception of big giant Turtle Sands sitting in the middle blocking everything. Turtle Sands, number 90, he's going to block the middle. Tommy Kelly signed to a big contract. He's the defensive end. I don't know how hot he's going to be. Last year he got hurt. I still think they paid him way too much money because Al Davis is crazy. We all know that's a fact. We got Kirk Morrison, who's their middle linebacker from Oakland. He grew up in Oakland. He went to Bishop O'Dowd High School. Over in Oakland Hills. It's a private school, but whatever, it's all good. And he needs to step it up. He's averaged over about 100 tackles over the last couple years, which is solid, but he's the anchor of the defense. He's the one, he's the captain, needs to show how it's done. You also got, Mr. 53 from UTEP, 53, the linebacker. I ain't worried about it. I'm on a roll. So number 53 is going to tear it up, and the cornerbacks... Thomas Howard. That's what I was looking for. You know, the cornerbacks, we got Nambi's out for a week, but he might be back by the opener. They got the other dude on the other side. If his name, for the life of me, I can't remember his name, but he's good. I believe he's number 37. He's very solid at the corner. We got they got Michael Ross. They got him coming up. The guy they picked out of Ohio, we don't know if he's going to play. Michael Huff, I'm not really sold on him. But the defense needs work. But the Raiders are still pretty solid. I like where they're going. My prediction, every year I say they're going to go 8-8. Realistically, I'm hoping they can win 6 games. But the fact is simple. The AFC West is garbage right now. The AFC West is horrible. Look at it. With the exception of the Chargers, who do you got? You got... the Broncos, and they were in a horrible mess. They traded away their only good player, who I didn't care much for anyways, and Jay Cutler. They traded him away. They got Kyle Orton, who is not looking too hot in the preseason. They got the whole drama. Ah, man, I've been working this too long. I'm forgetting the names. The wide receiver for the Broncos, he wants out. He's not playing good. He got fined. He got benched because he's just not even showing up to practice. They're a mess. And the Chiefs, they got a new coach. They're trying to figure their stuff out. Grandmama, Larry Johnson, the running back. A couple years ago, he was hot. He sort of faded out since. The AFC West is not a strong division. You could go 8-8 and easily take that division. But I'm going to get more into the NFL. Like I said, next week, we got the big kickoff special. That's going to be great. That's going to be fun. Some more news we got. Does anybody remember Jason Williams? Well, I do. Jason Williams was a power forward or a center. I don't remember, but he was a 4 or 5 for the – he played for a couple teams – But his big team, he really made it with the Nets. He was very solid. He went to St. John's College. He graduated in 1990. He got drafted by the Suns and got quickly traded to the Sixers, and then a year later got traded to the Nets. In the 97-98 season, he averaged 13.6 rebounds per game, which is pretty sexy. You can't argue with that. And he led the league with 443 offensive rebounds. Nowadays, offensive rebounds is like the lost art. People do not know how to do offensive rebounds. It's a shame, but I guess it's just a fact we got to live in with the NBA nowadays. 443 offensive rebounds. Two-time All-Star. One-time All-Star, excuse me, but very solid player. 2002, he retired. He retired in 2001. 2002, he accidentally shot his limo driver with a shotgun. Allegedly, he was playing with the gun, showing it off to people or something, and he shot and killed the limo driver. He was acquitted for it in 2006, so he didn't need to worry about going to prison, although there is going to be a retrial for reckless manslaughter. Right now, he's back in the news because he's claiming that the prosecution in the first case where he got acquitted they're trying to say that it was, quote, racial bias and prosecutorial misconduct. Looking to get overturned, whatever. We just got to say about that. And also in 2005, as a side note, he was on a skeet range with former Jets wide receiver Wayne Corbett, and he almost shot Wayne Corbett. I mean, granted, that could just be hearsay. That could just be a rumor, but that's what's been said. Let me see. Check the cheat sheets, what other hot stuff we got today. All right. Let me see. I've been talking for a little bit now. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to finish out the strong last 15 minutes. We're going to make it really good on the Brutal Honest Truth. No calls today. That's all right. I said before, I'll say again, I will talk all day. That is not an issue. That is not a problem. The area code here is 415, phone number 338-1532, 415-338-1532, KSFSradio.org. Please call in. Show your boy, Gorgeous Greg, some love, please. Well, with all that said, Greg's going to go ahead and take himself a quick break. Back with the Brutal Honest Truth. It's your boy, Gorgeous Greg, on Brutal Honest Truth. I'm here for about another 12 minutes or so, kicking on over to the Big Papa Knockout. All right, we are gonna hop up on this bad boy. So, I'm all out of material. I had my material all prepped about stuff I wanted to talk about. You know what? That's cool. I'm all about it. That's fine. So, we're just gonna kick around some more NFL action. What I'm gonna do right now is I'm gonna check some of the other teams that are gonna be playing in the NFL. And when I check on that, I'm gonna go ahead and touch on those teams because that'll be, that'll be something more to go on, because we will go all day. Although people, we're trying to get some love on the phone calls. Okay, so on Thursday, some of the games we got Cleveland at Chicago, and it's funny about Cleveland and Chicago because Cleveland, back when they had their whole Derek Anderson versus Derek Anderson versus Brady Quinn, who was going to step up. You know, Brady Quinn took the back seat, but now it looks like they really want him to be the guy. And you got him going in Chicago. He's going against, as far as quarterbacks, he's going against Jay Cutler, which is, from what I hear, the number one selling jersey from the NFL.com right now is the Jay Cutler jersey. And the Bears, you know, it's really funny. I know Sharky's going to like this because he's a Bears fan, but the Bears are really, they're, 3 years removed from a Super Bowl. They're not that bad of a team. Granted, they had some people don't have any more. And they're almost there. They might be able to come back. They did it with Sexy Rexy. I don't think Sexy Rexy's still there. He's not, you know, they're not going to make it fly since Sexy Rexy left. That bad boy ain't going to go. Mike Brown. You got Tommy Kelly. Perfect example. Tommy. Dang. Oh, I am sorry, listeners. I am running out, so we're just going to move on to the next game. Arizona at Denver. All right, now this is a good one because, like I said, Denver, everybody know that Denver is a mess right now. Denver is all tore up. They don't know what they got. They don't know what they're going to do, and they're going against the defending NFC champions. They're going against the Arizona Cardinals, and I want to talk about a little Philadelphia action just because, you know, Michael Vick's coming back. We got to see if Michael Vick can still play. He looked pretty solid last week. You can't argue with that. They're going to be playing the Jets. And Jets trying to find themselves, they're trying to find their identity since the whole fiasco with Brett Favre. And it's funny talking about Brett Favre with the whole in and out kind of thing. Brett Favre, I guess now he's over in taking the spot away from Tavares Jackson and taking the spot away from Gus Frerotte over in Minnesota. He's trying to see if he can get it going up there. Can he? I think we all know he's too old, but we sort of just got to wait and sort of see how it's going to happen. Since this is about boxing, I want to go sort of a little bit about the upcoming schedule. In a couple weeks, we got Vitaly Klitschko, considered by many the number one or number two heavyweight behind his brother, whichever way you want to go on that. He's fighting the American, Chris Areola. And it's funny, man, Chris Areola, his last fight looked bad. He got a TKO, but he looked big. I mean, he had like big man breasts. He looked out of shape. Yeah, he's powerful, but he was as big as he's ever been. I think he was at about 250. You know, no cap on the heavyweight division, that's fine, but still, man, that's weighing a lot. And Vitaly Klitschko, ever since he came back and whooped on Sam Peters, he has been taking it to people. He has been tearing it up. And let me see, who top? Vian Valoria. Oh, that's right. Huck just won the WBO cruiserweight title. Marco Huck beat Victor Emilio Ramirez of Argentina. He got a unanimous decision. And it's really good about that bad boy is that maybe this will set up a super fight between him and Thomas Adamek, who, in my opinion, is one of the best fighters out there, especially after the way he consistently serves up people. And he was very dominant when he beat Steve Cunningham. What I'm doing right now is I'm going on to check and see what sort of was coming up on the schedule. I'm going to, like I said, I always get into the fight more details when they come. But since I got a little bit extra time, I'm going to fill in. We're going to go over it. Vitaly Klitschko, Chris Areola, they're going to do the replay of the Mayweather-Marquez fight. I just want to touch on that really quickly because I'm going to go into a lot of details in a couple weeks. Definitely, Mayweather is definitely underestimating his opponent, his comeback, his tune-up fight. He's definitely underestimating Juan Manuel Marquez. In my opinion, the top fighter in the game. I think he's better than Manny Pacquiao. Yeah, I said it, and I'll say it till the day I die. I'm sticking by